This is an ABC podcast.
Jess Jonassen, who had to pull out of the recent T20 series in India due to a hamstring injury, is back. And she joins us. JJ, always good to have a chat to you and nice to hear that you're feeling fully fit. How are you?
Yeah, hey, I'm good. Thanks for having me. Like you said, we just finished a training session out here in AB Field. And it's really good to be back in the Australian colours again.
Just to reiterate the unbelievable record that this women's 50 over team has for Australia. Oh, curses for that hiccup in the series against India last year in Mackay, JJ. Because
otherwise, I wasn't there, not my fault.
Otherwise, it'd be 39 in a row because there was 26 in a row from October 2017 through to that game 3 in September of last year in Mackay when India got one off you. Since then, 12 in a row, including 9 wins undefeated in that World Cup triumph in New Zealand. This is unbelievable in any context of a sporting team. What makes this team so good?
Yeah, look, it's pretty phenomenal. I think the thing that makes our team so good is that willingness to sort of never be satisfied, I guess. It's not necessarily looking for perfection, but it's sort of finding ways to keep improving, even if you are winning. It's sort of identifying those little things that you can do to keep trying to stay ahead of the game. And I think our domestic structure, we have a lot to thank for that and how that's set up, that we've got the depth and the quality of players coming through that when we have retirements or injuries, we've got like sort of international hardened cricketers already without having even played a game internationally. So, I think it's sort of things like that that sort of really help. And it drives that competitive culture within the squad as well. But you've got so many good quality cricketers in Australia that, you sort of have to be at the top of your game all the time.
Yeah, and to think that we're asking about whether or not Beth Mooney's going to get a run, there is the potential, JJ, for someone like Phoebe Litchfield to be unleashed in international 50-over cricket in these next couple of games, which must be terribly exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's really shown what she's capable of over the last couple of seasons. A young player who's got some really good flair about her, and she obviously got a chance in the recent T20 series in India. It wouldn't surprise me if she sort of has her hand up for selection in these 50 over games as well. And like you said, obviously some changes in the top of the order that she's been opening the batting or coming in at 3 for New South Wales for a number of years now. So that's the thing as well, that you've got players with her calibre that are coming through the ranks. And like even we saw in the Governor General's game yesterday, there's so many talented and quality cricketers coming through that, if anything sort of happens or pops up, that we've got people that put their hand up straight away and can fill those holes.
And if you didn't catch the scoreline in that tour game yesterday, the Governor General's 11 were in trouble. 3 for not much early on, but made 235 thanks to 74 from the experience of Aaron Burns. And then you've got the youngster Charlie Knott, who made 66. Nita Dar with 4 wickets. Fatima Sana, 3 wickets for Pakistan. And Pakistan, in pursuit of 236, was bowled out for 182 in the 45th over with captain Bisma Maruf top scoring with 74 and Amanda Jade Wellington, who still struggles to find a permanent place in the Australian team, picking up 4 wickets for the Aussies. So some great depth there, as our guest Jess Jonassen is explaining. Now, what can you get out of a series against Pakistan? And I say that with all due respect to our touring visitors, but you've only played them, 13 times in the history of one-day international cricket. You've won all of them. The last time they were in Australia, you played out at in 50 over cricket, you played out at Brisbane Premier Grounds out at Redlands at Peter Burge Oval out there in August of 2014. So it shows you that the way that the standing of the game has improved now. You're at the home of women's cricket in Queensland and a huge home for the Australian women's cricket team at Border Field. But what about Pakistan? How much improvement have they shown recently?
Yeah, to be honest, they've hugely improved. I think it's we identify that even though we've got that record against them, that they have a number of dangerous players. And it's sort of how their opening bowlers, for one, how they had the Governor General's team in trouble with the new ball, that they're that good. Like, they do have that quality. They've got the swing and seam, and they equally have some really good slower bowling options and spin bowling options. And that's something that we probably needed to, or we've needed to adapt to over the years, is sort of the differences in the speeds that they, particularly their spinners that they bowl, and sort of coming up with some clear plans and ways that we can attack and, I guess, get the most out of our batting group against that type of bowling. And, yeah, I think the pleasing thing is that the women's game globally is growing and improving, and it's only going to continue getting better with more support and more resourcing. And hopefully we've got a few of those girls sort of being part of the various domestic leagues around the world that are sort of starting to pop up as well. That's only going to continue expanding their skill set and their way of going about the game. And that's hugely exciting.
And Pakistan is a nation which has had its issues of gender equality. To ensure the development of the Pakistan women's team hasn't been on par with its men's team. And that does link us into the thoughts of your team and your camp about Australia not playing one-day international cricket against Afghanistan because of the roadblocks there with the policy with women in that country. When you heard of that news the other day, JJ, what was your reaction?
Yeah, look, it's obviously really disappointing and a sad situation. But, yeah, I mean, I find that Cricket Australia's decision has been the right one, in the sense that the policies over there are blatant sort of disregard for women's rights and freedoms. And it's unfortunate that it sort of has to be this sort of situation. But, yeah, it's a really complex issue that I think, without sort of reading too much into it or understanding the complexities of it, that it's so easy for people to sort of see things on face value. But yeah, it's obviously is challenging, but I stand with Cricket Australia, and I think they've made the right call.
Yeah, I think it's one that is getting quite the consensus, albeit the sensitivity of the issue. Jess Johnson with us now. JJ, to finish up with, Skipper's back. Now, what's it been like to have Meg back around the group? And I'm not talking about how she's looking in the nets. I'm talking about, you know, demeanour, stories of where she's been. Has she got an extra tan? Are there tips as to where you should travel if you take 6 months off from the game?
Hey, look, it's just having her presence in this training this morning. Her presence alone was really great. Like, hearing her laughing in the nets, hearing the sounds of Meg Lenning can be quite entertaining at times. You sort of, the balls are popping up everywhere, or she's just keeping them out and she's letting you know about it. But yeah, it's just really good to have her presence around. And she just brings this relaxed mentality and then just this composure. And yeah, it's been really good. I haven't had a chance to have any conversations with her yet about her travels and where she went to and where the best places were, but we got a bit of time on the road coming up, so I'm sure there'll be plenty of time to have those conversations.
Did you and the girls ever doubt that she was going to come back?
To be honest, I wasn't quite sure initially, and I think, yeah, you kind of never could be. I think it was one of those things that yeah, we were hopeful. I was very hopeful that we hadn't lost her for good. But at the same time, I would have completely understood if she decided to not come back. But yeah, equally so pleased that she was able to get what she needed and get herself in a really good headspace and get the support that she needed for that time away from the game. And yeah, that's probably the most pleasing thing about it all.
And obviously, her form's going to be something that is obvious to us all once she gets out there on the pitch. And the group happy for her to come back in as captain?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I think it's one of those things that if Meg feels ready to do it and wants to do it, that there's no reason why she shouldn't. She's been an incredible leader before she had her break, and we were all really supportive of her break and the reasons why. And for her, yeah, to slot straight back in, I don't think there'd be one unhappy person within our camp or within Australian domestic cricket for that matter.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.